Man, it is great to see you this morning. If you have a Bible with you, I hope you do, then you can open up to Genesis. We'll get there in just a minute. And right towards the very beginning there, as we have begun 2019, and I can't believe we're like looking at like we're already more than halfway through the first month of the year, but as we've started this this year out, we've been in a series that we're calling This Is Us. And we're looking at our identity as followers of Christ, but our identity also as a church. We're looking at the mission, the strategies that make Newbury Park First Christian Church uniquely us. We're looking at what drives us, what makes us do the things that we do, what influences our decision making, and what excites us. And so the first week we jumped in and we started to talk about our mission. And our mission excites us. And our mission, it's in your bulletin right here, I believe, on the screen. And it says, I want you to read this with me. Okay, this is our mission statement. Okay, ready? All right. To develop fully devoted followers of Christ who seek and save the lost. Not complicated, and to be honest, I think we need to, it's worth repeating that this wasn't our idea. This was Jesus' idea. Jesus established his church. He called it, and he commissioned us to go into the world and to make disciples. And we are carrying on the mission that Jesus began when he was here, which is to seek and save the lost. And so we would invite people back into relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are called to live out our identity as witnesses, to witness to what God has done for us and what God continues to do for you. I hope that you see God working in your life and working around you. And when you notice that, then we are called to be witnesses of the things that God is doing. So whatever you see God doing, draw attention to that. Point it out. Other people might miss it and just say, this is what God's doing. This is what God is doing in my life. And if you need some help, well, we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. So we want to look then at how we accomplish this mission of developing fully devoted followers of Christ that seek and save the lost. And we have here at Newbury Park First Christian, we've got three strategies that we use to help us accomplish that. So, and these are the three. We want to help people encounter God, build community, and extend compassion. Those are the three things that we kind of hone in on. And last Sunday, we talked about the first of the three, which was to encounter God. And we've said when we recognize Jesus for who he truly is, that he's the Son of God, that he is the resurrected Savior of everyone who puts their faith in him, our only natural response to him is to worship him. When we recognize all that he's done for us, all his forgiveness, his provision, his protection, his healing, and especially his love, we realize that you and I were created to worship him. That's really our purpose. Our purpose is to worship. And so we've been called, and our identity consists of people who draw witness to what God has done, that we are people who our identity is worshipers, to worship our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we want to turn our attention to the second of our strategies, and this to help us help people become fully devoted followers of Christ, and that is to help people build community. Build community. Now, folks, today we are more connected than ever, but we are also lonelier than ever. It's interesting. I'm guessing that you don't know any of these names. Joanne Nichols, Caroline Gissette, Natalie Jean Wood, Hedviga Golick, David Carter, Joyce Vincent, Geneva Chambers, Simon Allen, Thomas Jin, and Barbara Norman. I'm going to guess that you probably don't know any of these people. They weren't very well known, but you know what the one thing that these 10 people have in common? All 10 of these people died in their own homes and were not discovered for for years. In fact, the average, when you total it all up, the average was they were not found for 10 years. Think about that for a minute. I mean, how does that happen? I want to read you one of those stories. For nearly 8 years, so she was on the low side of the average. For nearly 8 years, Natalie Jean Wood lay dead on the floor next to her bed in her increasingly dilapidated house in an inner city suburb. In that time, not a single person missed her, thought to check in on her, or went to stop and check on her well-being. Her relatives didn't try to contact her. Her neighbors assumed she had moved to be with family. The utility companies and local council didn't notice anything amiss, even though the unpaid bills were piling up outside her door. No one gave Wood a second thought. It wasn't until July, a month before she would have turned 87, that the police pushed open the door to the house where Wood had lived for almost her entire life, and they discovered her skeletal remains in her upstairs bedroom. Sadly, Wood attracted more attention in death than she ever did alive. How does something like that happen? I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, no connection, no one checking up. How in the world does that happen? You see, we live in this time and in this age where we can be so connected but so lonely. I was reading an article in Psychology Today that says this. It says, we live in a time where a coworker is one email away, a friend is one text away, and a loved one is one video chat away. And although communication may be easier and faster than ever, connection and community are complicated. Therefore, despite a reputation for practical societal advancement, our technological advanced time, it is also being linked to a loneliness epidemic. In the last 50 years, rates of loneliness have doubled in the United States. In a survey of over 200,000 Americans, it was found that almost half of the respondents reported feeling alone, left out, or isolated. Folks, we were not meant for isolation, but I'm imagining, I would guess that even in the church, even here this morning, there are people that feel anything but connected. And if we're honest, most of us struggle with some sense of loneliness. We struggle with knowing that we belong. We struggle with what's popular today is called FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. And then we isolate ourselves. And nothing good happens in isolation. Isolation is our nemesis because we were created actually for community. See, especially in the church, it should never be the case that we aren't known, because God created us to be along, to belong. And folks, here's the reality. We need to belong to a church, not just attend one. So what I want you to do this morning really quickly is this. Turn to somebody next to you and just say, you belong here. You see, here's the reality. We were created for community. Okay, we are created for community. So you guys liked that, didn't you? Yeah, and so you told the other people around you, that's good. Keep telling each other that. You belong here. See, we were created for this community thing. I mean, what is community? Dictionary describes community as a group of people who are connected by a common bond, purpose, or goal. Now, we share a common bond, our common bond in faith in Jesus Christ. It makes us brothers and sisters. It makes us family. It makes us his church, his bride. And we share a common purpose. We've talked about our purpose here as a church, which is to develop fully devoted followers of Christ. And we have a common goal, which is to help other people find and follow Jesus so that they can come into community. So for our purpose today, I want you to think of community as shared life. It's sharing our lives together. See, community is in our DNA. It's built into who you are. From the very beginning, when God created us, he gave us a piece of himself that is a longing and a desire for relationship and community. In Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it says this, and I want you, when we get to the red words, I want you to shout out the red words, okay? So just a little participation to make sure you're still with me, all right? So then God said, let make mankind in our image, in likeness, so that they, oh, you missed that one, so that may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all of the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Oh, sorry, I went too fast. Male and female, he created. Okay, there's a whole lot of community language in that little in those verses right there. Okay, a whole lot about community. When God went to create us, okay, we found out something very amazing about God. God said, hey, let us make man in our image. And in that language, we find out something amazing about God and who he is, okay, is that God is relationship, okay? God doesn't just have relationships, he is a relationship. I mean, we have this big fancy word, you know, Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three in one. And so in who God is, the very center of his makeup, there is community, there is relationship. And so God is a relationship. He was created. And so then when he created us in his image, part of his image that we carry with us is that we were created for community, that we have this inside desire for community. Isolation is one of the leading causes of depression in our world today. When people feel alone, they get depressed. Why? Because we weren't created for that. Now, some of you might say, well, I kind of like my alone time. And I get it. Some people are like, okay, and you know, you're up front. You're the extrovert guy, whatever else. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert. You've been created for community and you need others. Now, you might want to hide every once in a while, but that usually is a sign that there's something going wrong, right? Now, it doesn't mean from time to time you can't just spend some time alone, but we were created for community, and without it, we aren't healthy, we aren't whole. In fact, when God created everything, he said, you know, he created the light, and he created the rocks and the ground and the trees and the animals and everything else, and he said, this is good. And then he created mankind. He said, this is very good. But there was one thing that wasn't good in creation. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says this. It says, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now think about that for a minute. Okay? It was everything else in all creation was good. It was good. It was very good. Except for the fact that man was alone. And God said, hey, that's not good. That man isn't complete, man. You know, this isn't what I've created him for. I've created him for a relationship, and he doesn't have anybody to have a relationship with, okay? Now, I was thinking about this, and sometimes my brain goes to weird places, okay? That's why God gave me Brenda. She can come and kind of straighten me out when I kind of get off on going crazy and stuff. But I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about how, like, what would have happened if God would have just stopped? What if he wouldn't have said it's not good for man to be alone? What if he would have said, you know, it's okay for man to be alone? You know, I mean, what would have happened? I mean, think about it for a minute. I mean, somebody screamed out in the first service, it was a lady, of course, said everything would be a mess. And I would probably tend to agree, right? But think about it. What would have happened? And I thought, well, initially I thought, well, he would be the last man, right? I mean, we weren't going to have any more, right, if he's just by himself. Now, since somebody might pop up and say, well, maybe he would have lived forever then, right? He says, but God says, no, this isn't good. Somebody else, I mean, think about this. And I know some of you guys out there, you're thinking to yourself, like, maybe sin wouldn't have entered the world, right? Yeah, I mean, just saying. I mean, I'm just like, you know. But then as I started to ponder that for just a moment, I started to think to myself, nah, that wouldn't have been the case, because the guy was dumb enough to where Eve just said, hey, eat this. He was like, yeah, sure, whatever, you know, and he ate it. So his own stupidity would have caught up with him pretty quick, right? So, but the reality is that God didn't say that was good. He just said, this is not good. It's not good that we're alone. He wants us, he created us for community, for relationships, and he wants us to experience that. And relationship was so important to God that even though he knew their propensity for sinfulness, that he still said, it's not good for man to be alone. Even though he knew where that may lead, he just says, you know what? Relationship is most important. In fact, it's precisely because God couldn't stand the thought of eternity without you and me that he took on flesh, died in our place in hopes that we would put our trust in him. And that's how important community, how important relationships are to God. But Jesus doesn't want us to just end up together in heaven someday. He wants us to experience the power of community, the power of oneness here on this, in this life, here and now. If you listen to Jesus' prayer for us in John chapter 17, listen to the words of Jesus. He says this, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. That he was talking about the apostles, the guys that were right there in front of him at the time. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That would be us, right? So Jesus was praying for us right here. And he says that all of them, now think about this, if Jesus could just pray anything, right? Because, you know, what Jesus prays is, you know, that's probably going to come true, right? I mean, it's probably going to happen. If Jesus could pray for anything, what would he pray for, right? I mean, you think, well, would Jesus pray for, you know, us to, you know, never sin or everything? Here's what he prays for. He says that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. See, his purpose is so that people will believe. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then it goes on, it says, then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I mean, the whole idea, the whole result of our unity is that more people will believe. And what happens when more people believe? They enter the community. And when they enter the community, what happens? We work together so more people can believe. And that's how God intended this whole thing to work. Now, so much has been made about this idea that we have a personal relationship with God. And I believe that that is true. We make a personal decision. Your parents' decision doesn't save you. You know, just attending church doesn't save you. You have to make the decision to place your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, because salvation comes by faith alone, in Christ alone, okay, and through his grace alone. Okay, that's it, okay? But so much has been made about that that we have forgotten that once we put our faith in Christ, we don't only enter a relationship with him. At the moment in which you accept Christ as your Savior, you automatically enter a family, the family of faith, the body of Christ. And we are born again into a community of believers. And so your relationship with God is personal. Okay, you have to decide to do that. Okay, it's personal. You should grow with him, yes, but it's not just personal. While your relationship with God is personal, but God never intended it to be private. Now, are there times when you should get along with God and read his word or pray? Sure, you know, the Bible says that. But we damage ourselves when all we do is privatize our faith. When you say, oh, it's just between me and God. No, it's not. You are born into a family of believers, into a kingdom, his kingdom. And we're in this together. The local church is Jesus' strategy for us to experience community in the world. And folks, community is not optional. We are born into it. And if we want to have the greatest possible impact for the kingdom of God here in the Kaneo Valley and around the world, if we want to accomplish our mission of helping people become fully devoted followers of Christ, did you hear his prayer? He says, hey, make them one. Why? So that people will believe. I mean, think about that. How seriously we take community has a direct impact on people believing and placing their faith in him. Now, if we're going to do everything that God wants us to do to fulfill our mission, we're going to need to trust God, work hard, be willing to sacrifice, and we're going to need to work together. We're going to have to build community. Because, folks, we grow best in community. We grow individually best in community, and we grow as a church best when we experience community. And, folks, the church needs to grow bigger. Okay? Now, I know some people don't really like that. Okay? They're like, oh, no, we just want a nice little small. No. The church must grow bigger. Now, why should the church grow bigger? Because people matter. All right? I mean, think about this. Today, right now, in Newbury Park today, there are people. There are people who didn't go to church. That doesn't surprise anybody, does it? Because you know them. There are people here in our community that need to know Jesus. There are people in our community that ought to be filling up the empty seats in this place. Our church must grow bigger because people matter. But at the same time, our church must grow smaller. You know why? Because you matter. And let me explain how that works. When we all gather here together, we sit in these rows, right? And it's amazing. Sometimes, you know, people over on that side, they don't know the people on this side. You hardly know each other. And when I'm saying things here in church, you know, sometimes questions pop into your mind. But, you know, this isn't really the time to, like, raise your hand, because if everybody did that, we'd never get out of here. And so it's like, hey, how does that all work? And we love being here and sitting in rows together. But the reality is we don't get to know each other very well, and we can't really dive deeper into all of this stuff, and we can't really hold each other accountable right here and right now as well as we can if what our solution to this getting smaller is called life groups. So rather than just coming here and sitting in rows, we want you to go and sit in a circle somewhere, okay, where you get to know people, where you are known and you know them, and you do life together in a way that helps you have an opportunity to learn and to grow, to be held accountable, okay? To really share in that place, to share life together. This is huge, folks. And I guarantee you this, you need this for your growth. People grow best in that environment. That is why we organize, that's why we do life groups. Okay, we do life groups so that people can grow deeper and grow deeper together and grow in relationship. We had an experience, excuse me, this last week where somebody in our life group was going to have surgery. And so we gathered around those people and we laid hands on them. We invited the leaders of the church to come over and join us to pray over this individual. We have a picture of it right here, okay? And not all those people are in our life group. Some of them are, and some of them just came because, you know, they know the person, they got invited. And we just stopped and prayed for them right then. I mean, it's huge. Guys, this is so important. And you know what? The reality is that every person matters. Every person matters. That's why we do this. We do this so that we can bring people into a place where they can learn and grow together, okay? So that they can be encouraged and held accountable. And every single person matters. And we believe that we need every person plugged in. We need every person plugged in. Why? Because we want to maximize what God wants us to do. And you might be the missing link. Now, over the week, I was trying to think of a good way to illustrate this. And so I need a volunteer this morning, someone who can kind of work with me. I need somebody who knows a little bit about playing cards, okay? I know somebody's grandma might be upset that I have a deck of cards in here, okay? But I just need, okay, yeah? Okay.
My grandma
You're a grandma and you know all about cards. I love it. Okay, so here, and I want to introduce you to everybody. And so tell everybody your name.
I'm Valerie Lant.
Okay, this is Valerie. Okay, everybody say hi, Valerie. All right, we don't need this so much right now. So Valerie, you know something about cards. You know about playing cards. So you probably know how many cards are in a deck.
52.
All right, you want to do me a favor? Let's count those cards real quickly, okay? Now, it's really important. Why? Because every single one matters. Every person matters, just like in a deck of cards. Every card matters, okay? And so cards are very, you know, if you were going to play cards, you'd want a deck where every single one of them matters. So we're getting pretty close here, and we'll see how we're doing. All right, world. 40? 47. So do you have a whole deck?
I don't.
No. So are there very many card games that you would play that you would like to use that deck with?
No.
No, you wouldn't want to, you don't think that deck will work well. Why?
Because it's missing 5 cards.
Because it's missing something, right? Okay, yeah. So it's not complete, right? All right. Well, here's what I want you to know, is that your missing cards are out here somewhere. Okay, so here's we're gonna need your help. Somewhere out there, there's an envelope right in front of some of you. It's on the seat in front of you, kind of just kind of taped to the cross member. And so I need some of you to just look in front of you or look around. And when you find them, just hold up the envelope. Okay, just hold up the envelope. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. We're missing one. Oh, we got one right here, right? Okay, hold it up. Oh, look at that. Okay, very good. All right, so hold them up again so I know where they're at. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Because there's a reason that sometimes people avoid community. There's lots of excuses why people might, you know, not want to be involved in community. Okay? And so, Eric, will you come up and bring your card in your deck. Or in your deck, she's got the deck. Here, I'm going to hold on to these. Okay, in your envelope, you have a card. You can give that to Valerie, and then here, why don't you read? What's your excuse?
My excuse is I've served for years, and now it's someone else's turn.
Okay, he served for years, and now it's someone else's turn. Okay, so you can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Let's hear it for Eric. All right. I hear this every once in a while. People are like, you know, I've served for years and now, you know. Now, if you discipled someone into a role and you're working with them so that they can fulfill that, that's a wonderful thing. But here's the thing. If God has given you a gift, okay, if he's given you a spiritual gift to use to build up the body of Christ, you don't get to determine, okay, you don't get to determine whether or not you use that. He's given it to you for a purpose, and that's to build up the church. And you don't just get to say, you know, I've kind of done my part. Because guess when you've done your part? When you make it to heaven, right? Okay. Now, okay, another one. Let's get another one. Okay, go ahead and bring it on up, all right? You know this lovely young lady, right? So why don't you introduce yourselves? Sorry, that was Eric. I forgot to have him, but it's just because I know Eric, so go ahead.
I'm Hannah.
Hannah?
Mine is, what if there's weird people in the group?
What if there's weird people in the group? Well, here's all I have to say about that is there probably will be, okay? There's weird people sometimes in church. Not in this service. They were all at first service, okay? A lot of weird people there. But the reality is that sometimes there are weird people in our groups. And if you're in a group and you don't think that there's a weird person in there, the stark reality is it's probably you. Just saying. But you know what? It's not that they're weird, it's just that we're all different and we need to be. And sometimes what you discover is if you will kind of work through that for a while, what you're going to discover is this. The differences and the uniqueness is what makes it flavorful. It's what makes the group special, okay? I mean, it's just like a family. We all have crazy ones, okay? And it's okay. It's okay. All right, let's speed it up here, okay? Come on up. All right, we got another one here. So you can... Oh, and we got Yoshi. Did Yoshi sniff out the envelope? This is Yoshi and Yoshi's friend.
Cindy,
all right. Cindy, hi, Yoshi. All right. Okay, so go ahead and you can give the card to Valerie, and then you can read. What's your excuse for not being in community?
This is the part I get.
Yeah, okay. My life is so busy, this is my only day to sleep in.
Okay, my life is so busy, this is my only day to sleep in. We're going to get to a Bible verse in just a couple minutes that talks about people just like wanting to miss out or not engage in with the body of Christ. So, okay, thank you. Thank you, Yoshi. So, but it's huge. And now, here's what I would tell you is this, is that I'm not buying it, okay? Because you make time for the things that are of greatest priority. So if you're just like missing on a regular basis because of whatever, then the reason is that community isn't your greatest priority. It's just, let's just say it how it is. Okay, that's just reality. Okay, you do make time for those things that are most important to you. And so, okay, next one. Let's get another one. Where? Okay. Okay, come on up, Mackenzie. This is Mackenzie, everyone. Say hi. So, all right, and so you can give Valerie your card, and then you can read us your excuse.
I'm still new around here, and I don't know how to get connected.
Okay, she's still new about here. She's new around here and doesn't know how to get connected. Okay, so if that was somebody in our church family and say, you know, I'm kind of new. I'm trying to figure out how to get connected. What would you tell them to do? You rock, Ojan, okay? Yeah, one of our solutions for that is this crazy thing you hear us talk about all the time called Next Steps, right? Next Steps is a way for you to come get to know us, for us to get to know you. We share a little bit about how things work around here, and we give you all kinds of information about here's ways that you can get connected. We point you in the direction of Rooted, which is amazing. You can sign up today, which, by the way, on our website, you can sign up for Next Steps. You can sign up for Rooted. You can sign up to be in a life group, which I'm going to talk about more in just a minute. But you can just sign up, okay? We've tried to make it as easy as we possibly can, but Next Steps is amazing, and you'll meet some really great people. A few weird ones, too, but that's okay. I'm there, so, you know. All right, so next one. Any others? We got one more, I think. Oh, yeah, come on up. All right. Thank you, Jason. Jason's going to come up and go ahead and give Valerie your card.
I bet he's got a good excuse.
He's got a good excuse? All right, let's hear your excuse, Jason.
Our kids' sports schedule just dominates our life.
Our kids' sports schedule just dominates our life. Okay? Yeah, now, here's the thing. Now, again, I know people read into stuff all the time. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay? Not saying that sports are evil. I played lots of sports, okay? Our daughters played sports. I coached for years. I mean, I love that. But here's the thing that you really need to think about as a parent, okay? Is if you allow that to dominate your life to the point that it pulls you away from the community of believers, here's the question. What are you teaching your kids? What are you teaching them? I mean, there's no getting around. You're teaching them that there's something else that's more important. You're teaching them that the community, okay, of God is kind of up for grabs. It's kind of like, yeah, if we have time, right? In other words, what you've done is you've made it secondary when God meant it to be a primary thing in our lives. He created us for it. Okay, and it's super, super important. Now, Valerie, we've got some cards here, and you know something about cards.
We could have been okay with that.
Yeah.
These are really important cards.
So, they're not important cards, except what do you have here?
A full house.
You got what?
A full house.
Okay, you got a full house. You got two threes. And three.
It's everything and four of a kind.
And three sevens, that's right. So that's a pretty good hand, right?
Excellent.
Now, would you have been okay playing it, with that deck if we just had one taken away? Is that deck any good?
Well, I wouldn't have won the hand.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, you are good, man. You are good. I love
two
it.
Two pairs.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, no, there's something still missing, right? OK, Okay? When we've got it all together, we got a full house. Okay? Here's the reality, and I know you're thinking at this point, okay, Ken's like crazy, but you don't take the illustration too far, but the reality is maybe the only thing keeping us from having a full house as a church
is one person.
Is you. Okay? And maybe the reality is that you need to figure out a way to plug into community so that as a church, we experience everything that we need to be. In fact, there are things that God wants us as a church to do that we won't be able to accomplish without you. And that's huge. So let's hear it for Valerie. We needed her this morning. Thank you.
I'm going to take that under advisement, Pastor.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, she was awesome. Now, okay, so I'm going to kind of wrap this up real quick here. It's. I know you're thinking, okay, Pastor Ken came up with this crazy illustration. It really actually is that important. The Bible tells us that every single, that you are the body of Christ, and every one of you is part of it. When somebody's missing, we're missing something. And when we're missing something, we're missing out. And we can't be all that God called us to be. Now, the other thing is that not only are we, and it's not just about us and what the church wants to accomplish, it's about you. Church has to get bigger because people matter. The church has to get smaller because you matter. In order for you to experience being a fully devoted follower of Christ, you need to be plugged into community. You need to build that in your life. If not, okay, then you're isolated. And when you're isolated, you can't experience what it fully means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You need community to make that happen. It's truly that important. And I want to give you three things as I wrap up that we needed to have in order to build real community. Number one is this. Number one is time. Okay, it's gonna take some time, okay? Because to get to know each other and to really share life together, it's gonna take some time on your part. You're gonna have to make a commitment to that. That's why I'd encourage you, sign up, come to Next Steps. We'll encourage you to sign up for Rooted. Rooted is amazing. And then that'll help you kind of flow, hopefully, into a life group where you can get connected to other people. And we've experienced this in our own lives. And man, we wouldn't do life without it. It's just that important to us. Now, our group has changed several times, okay, because, you know, I mean, being a pastor, so we've had groups, and then some of that group goes and starts another group, and then we add some more people to our group, and then we'll, you know, that group will spin off and start another group, and then we'll add a few more people to our group. We've done that a few times, and you know what? What we find is we just love all the people that end up with us. And the good thing is we love all the people who have been with us and those relationships keep going. But it is so vital for us. It's going to take time. You're going to have to niche out some time. in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, these are huge. Don't have time to totally unpack them, but it says this. And let us consider how we may spur one another. That's hopefully what I'm doing this morning, is spurring you on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together. That's huge. Even God says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Don't make that a habit. In other words, what we're saying is, you know, yeah, you might miss here and there or whatever, you know, but that's okay. But don't make it a habit. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is huge for us. We're going to have to take time to meet together. It's huge. The other thing is we're going to have authenticity. Okay, I know that's a word that we throw around a lot today, authenticity. What does that look like? As I was reading through this, I came upon this verse, and to me, it kind of just screamed of this idea of authenticity. James chapter 15, or chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And it says, in the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now where is it a safe place for that? To confess your sins to one another and to pray for one another. Well it's good in a place where you've developed relationship, where you've been open and you've been honest, and people feel like they can be open and honest as well. And a place where when people are open and honest, we don't sit there and go, you know, and where we keep that in confidence. It's a safe place. And that's what we hope to create in our life groups, is a place where people can share, we can be open. One of the things I love in our Rooted experience is there's 1 week we talk about strongholds, okay? About places in our life where the devil kind of tries to get the upper hand or kind of gets a foot in the door and tries to really mess up our life. And guess what? Here's the thing. As good as y'all look this morning, every single one of us has one. Every single one of us has one or more places where you know what, where the devil is always working to try to kind of get in and mess things up, to try to destroy what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about our amazing God. You know, I mean, it happens to me. I mean, this whole idea of, you know, confidence and stuff, and people say, oh, you know, you're up front. You know, it's not always easy to share with people, but the reality is pretty much every single week, before I get up here, and even sometimes while I'm here, there's a whole lot of stuff. There's like a war going on, and there's a lot of times where the evil one is saying, like, you know, Kent, who are you to say that stuff? You know, you messed up this week. How come you can stand up there and say things like that, right? Or what if people don't like you? What if people don't like what you said? What if people get ticked off? All these other things. And it's a constant bombardment of these voices inside my head that is trying to say, you know, distract me from doing the things that I think God is calling me to do. And you know what? If you're here this morning and you hear some voices inside of your head that are saying, you know, that whole community thing, and I'm just going to push back against that, here's what I can guarantee you. That is not from the one who created you and wants community for you. That's from somebody who wants to rob you of what you've been created for. And I want to encourage you to push back against that and say, no, God created me for this, and I need to get involved in it. I need a place where I'm safe enough to where I can confess what's wrong in my life and where people will pray for me, lift me up, no matter what's going on. We all need that. It is so vital. And then the last one is this, is that we need a place where we can share life together. Go home, we don't have time to do it right now, and read Acts chapter 2. Start in verse 42 and read all the way to the end of the chapter. It's a great example of how the early church shared life together, because we're called to do it together, okay? We're called over and over again to share in life together. In just a moment, we're going to have communion together. So the folks who are going to serve that can go get ready for that. But while they're doing that, the Bible tells us there's all these togethers, okay, in the Bible. And I was looking them up this week. The Bible tells us we are supposed to meet together, okay? Don't give up meeting together. We're supposed to meet together. Eat together. Oh, that sounds really good, right? Okay, that sounds good. We're going to gather around the Lord's table in just a minute. Be yoked together. In other words, carry the weight together. Okay, be joined together. Be built together. We are heirs together with Jesus Christ. Share together. Be members together. I know some people don't like the idea of membership or whatever, but it tells us right here, we are members of one body. Okay, members. Okay, we have power together. We are held together. We are bound together. We're supposed to live together. And one day, folks, we will be caught up together when Jesus returns. So look around you. Get to know these people. Get to like these people. Get to love these people. You know why? You're going to spend eternity with them. And if you don't like community too much, then you're not going to think much of heaven. Because in heaven, we will experience the fullness of community. Not just with our Heavenly Father, but with each other. And the reality is, folks, the church is a place where we want to build community because it's a place where we belong. No matter what anybody else tells you, folks, you belong here. You belong here. Maybe you're thinking, oh, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for you. You belong here. Some of you might think, well, what do I have to offer? I'll tell you what you have to offer. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a gift that God has given to you, and you belong here, and we want to help you connect with that. You belong here because that's part of our identity. Our identity is belonging. And folks, there's no greater place that we can look at to bring us together and realize that we belong together than the fact that we have this common bond and the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on our behalf. And I'm going to ask our ushers right now to just go ahead and start serving communion. And what we're going to do today is a little different. I want you to take the emblems, the little bread and the little cup, and just grab those and hold on to them. We're going to take those together today. So if you'll just kind of grab those, and then when everybody's been served, you can just sit quietly, enjoy a little bit of time with our Heavenly Father, encounter Him a little bit today, and just enjoy His presence right now. And then when everyone's served, we'll partake together. This is something that the Lord Jesus Himself asked us to do as followers of His, as people who have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians writes this. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So take that piece of bread that represents His body and eat that. And then He says, "This is the cup of my," or I'm sorry, "in the same way after supper, He took the cup saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So take that that cup together. See, not only did Jesus die to save us, He died to unite us and to give us a community where we could learn and love and grow and flourish as His people. And so allow Him today to drive you into this place that He's designed for you to be, this place called community. Because never forget, you belong here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to die in our place, to pay for our sins, so that through forgiveness and through Your grace, that we could live forever. And thank You, Father, that we are not alone. And Father, we have Your Holy Spirit, but Father, we have one another. And thank You, Father, for the amazing, amazing gift that is Your church. Father, we know we're not perfect, but Father, we know that we're together. So Father, help us to grow more and more together, to experience community, and to know that we belong. We love You, Father, and praise You in Jesus' name.